Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey!
We back.
Sorry.
We back.
I'll stretch it. Yep. One more time.
Once again, thank you.
I'm glad
for joining
to be
us.
In the podcast one more time.
Once again, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the podcast once again.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's quite fitting that we're being extra churchy today.
Yes.
Because, well, first I want to say thank you. Thank you, listeners, for staying with us. We are back.
One more time. We missed
last week. Once again,
yep.
So I was just telling Jay that I have terrible allergies, guys. I have allergies, and it is, you know, around that changing of the season time. So I'm pretty much, like, really, really cranky because of my allergies. I've had them my whole life, but sometimes they're worse than other times. That being the case, though, glad to be back. But, yes, extra churchy. It's funny because there's this account that I follow on Instagram, and one thing that she said recently was, oh, no, it's not on Instagram, it's on Facebook, but she said, what would churchy people do? Hashtag, what would churchy people do? And I thought that was funny. Like, not WWJD, which was, you know, early 2000s, what would Jesus do? They were, like, Rick fans and
everything.
Late 90s,
early 2000s. Keychains, all that.
Exactly, it was a whole movement. So what would churchy people do? Which, you know, if you're in a church, you understand it's something entirely different than what would Jesus do in most cases. So that's funny.
Yes,
but,
very different. Very different.
Extremely different. And that's part of why our topic today is our topic, because a lot of debates in Christendom have been caused because of a question of what would Jesus do versus what would churchy people do, and where does that line lie? So that's sort of what we're talking about today. Jay, would you mind elaborating a little bit on our discussion today, what we're going to be talking about?
So, okay. All right. I've been hearing this for a minute now. And, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. You know, I'm not very traditional. I don't think I'm very religious. I like to call myself a Christian and flow with the spirit, I guess, and not just be concerned with the politics and the religion. And in that sense, you know, a lot has been made, or discussion has been made, about what is gospel as far as the music. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the church music with the organs and the Jesus. And, you know, and recently there has been a movement with a lot more urban feel and a lot, you know, geared to people and youth and a movement. It's more current, I guess, more urban, you know, people like Lecrae and Erica Campbell and Tanton Jones. You know, you got people leading that movement.
Right.
And it's funny because yesterday I heard somebody say, it was a song, I don't know if it's called Worship Till I Pass Out or whatever. It's by Uncle Reese and Willie Moe Jr. and Kenton Jones. I don't know if you heard it or not.
Okay, I'm not sure if I have. You said it's called Praise Until I Pass Out?
Worship Till I Pass Out, Praise Till I Pass Out. I don't remember if that's what it's called. But, you know, the person said, you know, that don't sound like gospel. You know, it's not like something I can hear on, you know, I guess a hip-hop station, you know, because it's a lot more urban. And I hate when people say that. That don't sound like gospel.
Mm.
You know, and it's usually older people, you know.
Right.
I hate that. I don't know. It's just something in me. It's like, what makes me want to just blurt out, what is gospel supposed to sound like? You know, and they just got me thinking, you know, like, what should gospel sound like? Or should gospel have a sound? you know?
Mm. Right, right.
Okay. First off, let's talk about, or let me get your opinion. What is gospel? Just the basic term, the term. What does that mean to you?
Okay. Well, to me, and let me just say, I am one of those persons that leans heavily on the literal definition of words. Okay? I'm a writer.
Okay.
One of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like
me too.
People
yeah.
just come up with their own, you're going to make up your own definition of what a word means, or they say a word and then
yeah.
expect you to accept it to mean something different. So I just
right.
I want to throw that out there as a disclaimer, because I pretty much believe that gospel, anything, is something that represents the gospel of Christ, which is the good news. Like, gospel literally means good news. But we
thank
know
you.
That in Christendom,
hello.
Right, in Christendom, that has to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is the
yeah.
story of Jesus' ministry, Jesus' ministry here on earth, his life ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, as is believed by my religion, Christianity. That is the gospel. Okay, so then the actual definition of that in relation to Christianity is the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, the Christian revelation, story of Christ's life and teaching, especially as contained in the first four books of the New Testament, namely Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Exactly.
Yes.
But it can also be something regarded as true and implicitly believed to take someone's report
yes.
as gospel, a doctrine regarded
yeah.
as of prime importance. So, but the literal thing, you know, is gospel means glad tidings, but still it comes back to especially concerning salvation and the kingdom of God as announced to the world by Christ. So that's the actual definition of the gospel, which means that technically anything that proclaims the basis of Christ's life on earth and his truth and doctrine is gospel.
Yeah.
Whatever. Gospel
yeah.
as a genre, that's
gospel. It's God. It's all God.
Right.
To quote
right.
What's their name? The Soul Seekers. It's all God.
Yes.
All good.
Yes.
It's all
God.
God.
Right, right, right.
So why do you feel, okay, it seems like in today's church, the connotation of gospel is church music, organ, Jesus, 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 that music. It seems like that's the connotation of what gospel is, and everything that's not that, you're like, what is that? Like, that ain't gospel.
Mm.
You know, what are your thoughts on that, when people say that or have that thought process?
Right. Okay, so if you couldn't tell, listeners, JB and I are black, okay? We live in Detroit. We're born
yes.
and raised. We are, if you want to call us African-American, although that will probably be a discussion of the show pretty soon, because a lot of big people don't want to call us African-American, but black, you could say we are descendants of the African diaspora. You could say that
yes.
we are brown people. We
yes.
are colored. Whatever you want to call us, we are that, okay? So I want to...
Just don't call us that word.
Right. Just don't go into the slurs. But, yes, we're brown people. We're black, okay? So that being said, I think that it's funny because gospel music, we... and the world at large tend to apply that label, that genre, to the music that is rooted in the traditions of the African-American church.
Yes.
Which is specifically not African, not brown or black people from around the world, because we know that there are brown people all over. But African-American church, which means rooted in, like, you know, the late 1800s, African-American churches in the
yep.
southern
yep.
parts
yep.
of the United States.
based off the old Negro spirituals.
Exactly.
A lot of them, you know.
Exactly.
Based on
Negro
that during slavery times, yeah.
Sacred songs of the African American culture that came about during and after slavery. So these were the songs that came specifically from that struggle. That's what we classify as gospel music, although we just discovered that the word gospel in and of itself has no color or cultural roots. It is based in Christianity. Okay, so that being said, I am with you, but I understand. I could play devil's advocate. So, yes, when people say that doesn't sound like gospel music, more likely it would sound like that don't sound like gospel music. They mean exactly what you said. That doesn't sound like what I'm used to from the Southern Baptist Church.
Right.
And
I'm cool with that.
That means
I'm cool with that.
Right, right. And however, and I get it, right? You're used to organs. You are used to tambourines. You are used to sort of a congregational. Right, right. I get that.
We know about that. Yeah.
Right.
I know
that's
about
what
that.
Well, that's sort of how we grew up, right? Very much averse to, I don't want to say averse, but not contemporary, very, very heavily steeped, very, very heavily steeped in that old sound. But that's
Jesus
exactly
is on the mainland.
Is
what you
want. Exactly, exactly. And you can fall in. You know where it's going. It's not. It's the same chord for every song. You can do that. You can do that single clap on the upbeat. You can do the double clap on the upbeat. Either way it goes, you can do the foot stomp and the clap. It's the same thing.
Yep.
You can switch it up a little bit, but basically, right. Here's my problem with that. You can say that you prefer that sound, but the argument here is when people say, well, that don't sound like gospel music or that doesn't sound like gospel music, they're passing judgment. They're saying that music can't be of God when they say that. That's what they're saying.
Right.
That sounds different, so I think that it is not of God. And that's where I draw the line, because let's be real. Technically, secular, quote-unquote, secular music is anything that is not explicitly expressing reverence and glory to God, right? Explicitly in nature. So what does that mean? Disney songs, for instance. There are some great Disney songs, but they are secular. Classical music that doesn't even have lyrics. So many will argue, I mean, there are many holy people that love classical music, but technically it's secular. That music is secular because it is made without a point of reference being that of the one true God. Jazz.
Right.
But my point is, these are genres. So you can have classical music. You can have music that has a classical score, that has a classical chord and instrumentation, but that glorifies God. So why is it frowned upon to have rap, for instance, that glorifies God? It's a genre. So you have to separate the genre from the message, is what I think. Now.
Right.
Where I play devil's advocate is if you take Ginuwine's Pony, is that the name of the song, Bump and Grind? I don't see. No, that's not Ginuwine.
Yeah.
If you take if you take that track and put quote-unquote Christian words on top of it, you've lost me.
Right.
And here's why. And I know it sounds like I'm being a hypocrite, but here's why. because was made with those lyrics, okay? They are married together.
Right.
So when you put the godly words on top of it, you cannot undo.
You can't. You can't. No, you can't do what
that comes
it was already done to that.
Because of the track. Right. Now, if it had been
yeah,
made,
you're
if
right.
that track had been made a Christian song first, then when you went and put Come On and Let's Do It, Jump On My Pony on top of it, people would be like, I can't even get with that because this song was made first with Praise God and Let's Do It, Sanctify
but
the Temple.
There have been like, other songs that have done that we really liked.
Right.
The Clark Sisters, You Brought the Sunshine. Mm-hmm. That came from Stevie Wonder's Master Blaster.
That's true.
We'll be having it to the break of dawn. It came from that.
Right, right.
Like some of the music chords and stuff like that came from it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Mary, Mary, I'm walking. That
yeah,
one
yeah,
came
yeah.
from a T.I. song.
Right.
Why you want to go and do that, huh? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
exactly.
It happens.
So no,
so
I mean,
I don't
right.
know.
And we like them, but it's just
right.
there's a feeling, right? So there are some
right.
songs
right.
that I just can't. I mean, who else is Dietrich Haddon is a ringer for? He does it all the time. I feel like there were so many songs
right.
of him.
Kirk Franklin does
and
it
I was
a
just
lot.
Like, I can't. Kirk Franklin does it a lot. Exactly. And as a matter of fact, the guy who preached at our church on Sunday talks about that. It's like, stump. Yeah, I mean, but it came from the world first.
And
so,
I didn't have I didn't like that. Yeah, that one got under my skin a little bit.
Yeah, it did. I remember. So, I mean, but all of us have those.
Right.
All of us have those.
Right.
And I'm.
Let me. My problem is. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. My problem is, you know, I don't like, that's another problem I had. Don't say, I remember when it used to be gospel. Gospel used to sound like gospel. That's our whole thing today, you know, what is gospel? And my thing is,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a different time period. So if you don't like
right.
this music, it's not your style, say that. Say it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because God can speak to any generation he wants to in his way, and he can use whoever he
mm-hmm.
wants. You know,
mm-hmm.
he can
mm-hmm.
use anybody. He can use anything. That's my thing. So
mm-hmm.
don't say it's not gospel just because it's not something you like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are songs now that are new that are more biblically sound than a lot of gospel standards, if you want to call it that.
Agreed.
What's the song, Get Right Church and Back Train and Get Your Load?
Yeah.
Back train and get
yeah.
your load. No, that's
mm-hmm.
not, huh? No.
Because there
God
won't be any
about back
to
and back. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I agree.
You know.
I agree with that.
So, I just don't feel like, you know. And, oh, I forgot my big one. There's a lot of music from the time periods before us. Where, you know, hold on, let me just say that, you know, they don't like music that's newer because it sounds like worldly music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's music from back then that sounded just like the music of that day. And people talked about it.
Right.
The church talked about it. Now, this stuff is accepted now. Like, I think it's Edwin Hawkins' Oh Happy Day.
Mm-hmm.
People in the church weren't always happy about it because it sounded like the world music because it was on
right.
Mainstream radio.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
crossover.
You know, now it's like, yeah, now it's like accepted, but it wasn't accepted back then. And you got,
right.
you know, I don't want to call out any names or anything, but there is plenty of music that sounds like music that was bluesy or jazz. From that day, that has a bass guitar and, you know, the same instrumentation of a B.B. King or, you know, of a jazz musician or a blues musician from back during that time. So if you want to say that don't sound like gospel music, you know, say it all around. Don't just say this because I don't like this. This don't sound like gospel music. And don't say what the gospel music from 20, 30 years ago, how that is so gospel when it sounded like music, secular music of the day, too.
Right,
okay, that's
right.
My soapbox. I'm off.
And no, I feel you. And let me say this because I've studied this. I've actually studied a lot of different, not just the Christian music, but the music of our African diaspora. Sort of African American history has been deeply, so it goes hand in hand with our music. And that is the case for a lot of different cultures, but I'm obviously deeply interested in my own culture. And so I've studied that. And so music is a huge thing. I think where we run into trouble. So I may not have mentioned this before. My dad, I call him Papa Bear. He has a lot of different. He's had a huge impact on me, obviously, because he's my Papa Bear. And one thing that he has always been huge about is trying to teach us not to put value on things based on our own opinions and feelings. And I think that's where we run into trouble. And before I go into this, I do want to say this is not just an African-American or black or brown or whatever you want to call it. This is not just an ethnic issue, okay? This is an issue with the entire Christian world because there are genres that are more European in people's opinion that are going through the same exact prejudices. I have friends who dealt with the same thing. They're around my age and contemporary Christian music. Their parents said, oh, that sounds demonic because there are metal Christian bands and there are heavy metal Christian bands and there are rap Christian bands and there are, you know, contemporary pop, soulful, grassroots. All of those genres have Christian bands, country have Christian bands, and the more contemporary music sounds secular to the older saints in those cultures as well. So this isn't just a brown issue. I do want to stop and say that right now. I don't want you to think that we're like picking on the ethnic minority in media, but this is what we're familiar with. So anyway, I go on to say, we place judgment, and that's where the problem is. When you get people saying, oh, you need to check your faith if you don't like the old hymns. If you hear an old hymn and it does nothing to you, you need to check your faith. That's where I have a problem. Because first of all, it's the gospel that saves. Okay, so like just the word of God, the written word of God saves. There are beautiful songs that have been crafted that glorify God, I believe, in my opinion. So let's not focus on music as the main tool of salvation because it's not. However, I agree. There are songs that have words that are either scripture or are based heavily in scripture, and they can do a lot to minister. That has nothing to do with genre, though. That has nothing to do with genre. Because there are, like Jay pointed out, there are old Southern hymns where the words are empty because they have nothing to do with scripture, just like there are Christian rap songs now where the words have nothing to do with scripture.
It's just stuff that sounds good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's just stuff that sounds good. You know, and it's fun, and you get to have church, and you get to praise and stuff, which is what people today are doing. You know, stuff like, you know, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Like, I get crunk every time I hear that. Oh, my God,
too.
I just said crunk. I'm sorry. I mean, I get hype every time I hear that.
Really. Me too, because it's hot. And it's fun. It's fun, right? And that's the thing. As Christians, especially young Christians, not to say, older Christians don't have fun, but that's one of the things that keeps a lot of young people away. They feel like, oh, you're going to take my fun. No, you can have fun. It's like you can go to the ballet. That, you know, watching Swan Princess Age is not going to send you to hell because it's not in your face a gospel story, even though any good story has elements of the redemptive plan of God. I believe that. But even though it's not somebody preaching, that, I mean, life, that was created, the arts, our creativity. God put that in us for us to enjoy. So songs like, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Like, that,
and look, you got people like Lecrae, Mally Music. I'm a huge Mally Music fan. They're like doing their thing, and it's fun, and it's somewhat crossing over. Cause I think Lecrae, if I'm not mistaken, had a number one album, like when it first came out. I don't know if that's true or whether I'm thinking of something else, but I thought he did.
Yes.
Or it was close.
Yes. That's true.
Okay.
And you're right. And there, that's part of the problem. Though people are saying, well, if the world likes it, then you need to question yourself. And you're right. I agree that if you have all the wrong people on your side, you do need to check yourself. But look at people like Billy Graham. He was known the world over. No one discredited him because of his popularity. People judged him on his message. So I think that the same chance should just be given to everyone, regardless of whether it's a genre that you like or not. So, I just, you know, that's how I feel. Now, bringing up Mary Mary, they are one of the biggest groups in the gospel industry that are sort of getting fire right now. They are taking a lot of fire because not only have their songs traditionally sounded, you know, some of their songs sounded more modern, but also they've worked with a lot of secular artists. Am I right?
Right. Yep.
And so they're coming
under fire.
They did a
song with David Banner. They did Destiny's Child. You know.
Right.
Who else? There's some other people. Yeah.
But
they had like T-Pain and Kanye West in their video or, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. It's been their thing. Exactly.
Right. And you know what? I'm okay with it to a point. Now, where I draw the line is if you allow the decisions that you make to sort of push the limits, overshadow the gospel.
Right.
But up until that point, I mean, come on. There are people who are mad at Mary, well, actually, this is just Erica. There are people who are mad at Erica for I Love God. But you guys were singing the Michelle song, If Jesus Say Yes, Nobody Can Say No. And that was with Destiny's Child. Okay?
Right.
So, come on. The same people who were like, Beyonce is a part of the Illuminati, were really singing that song and blasting it.
Right.
Where is the difference? At what point do we make a decision to judge everything just on what God says? And
I think that's a big overarching problem with the church today is so much judging, it's so much religion, so much tradition, and I don't think that's, you know, that impedes the Holy Spirit sometimes, you know?
And I think we should, because we're coming down. Right, we're coming down to it, and we should discuss that sometimes because I happen to be a very conservative person. I like tradition. I think that they have their place, that the traditions have their place. But you're right. I think sometimes we take it a little bit too far, and we allow it to overshadow the gospel's work. And let's be honest, Jesus came in and shook the world up. He went against a lot of the things that the people at that time thought were the right way. So before we pass judgment on people for doing things in what seems to be a new and different way, we should realize that there really is nothing new under the sun, and Jesus was an example in that way.
All right. So that's all the time we got for today, man. I wish we can keep going, but that's it for today. Thank you all for listening to Is That So Detroit, man. We really appreciate it. And
we really do.
Just keep listening, man. And, we'll be back for you next week.
Same place, same time.
That's right. Got to go.
Peace out.